Let there be light. Open the eyes of the blind. Purify my heart with... Anyway, we'll go there today. That was my William Shatner. We're good. So we're so thankful you are here. Worship team got it. That's all that matters. Exactly. Isn't it great to have the next generation? Thank you, Toby, for worshiping with us today and helping lead worship. That's awesome to get to have all of our Vine kids and growing up Vine kids running around here in the house of the Lord. And so we're continuing our series on the Mount. Before we get there, you're going to talk to three different people today. I'm going to make you get out of your comfort zone, okay? Let one person know God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. Let somebody else know God wants to bless you. God wants to bless you. And then you got to let one more person know God has good plans for you. God has good plans for you. Good plans. Good, good plans. God has good plans for you. So we're going to have that big idea and that perspective as we continue our series on the Sermon on the Mount. And the reason we're walking through this series is this is Jesus' most well-known sermon. It's the one that's the most misquoted, misapplied, least obeyed teachings of Jesus because it goes naturally against everything we want to do in our flesh. Today specifically, we're going to be talking about that because you and I love to be comfortable, right? It's the thing, like, before you go to sleep, you got to be comfortable, right? If not, you don't sleep well, you're miserable, and that's not how you want to feel. And I want to tell you today, Jesus didn't come for us to be miserable, but he certainly didn't come for us to stay the same. And I don't know about you, but I get excited about that because I know where I once was, and I'm not where I want to be, but by the grace of God, I'm right where Jesus wants me to be. And I hope and pray that's the same for you because today what we're going to be diving into is the road that leads to life. The road that leads to life. Because life is a highway. I won't ride it. No. All right, I knew it. Yep, we knew it. There's one. We're good. So you're welcome. We're going to get all of this going for each and every one of us as we get excited about that. We are all looking for that road. We are all looking for the road that leads to life. It's something in our human condition. We know that there's something more than this life, that something is missing, that maybe, just maybe, if we find it, it will be good. Just 600 years ago, people thought they would get in a big old boat and go find El Dorado, right? They thought that they would go find the fountain of youth. They thought that they would find the tree of life. There are many Christians today that believe that when Jesus told John that he would not die like Peter did, that he had found the tree of life. Sounds crazy. Like, what if you and I could find the tree of life? It's buried somewhere in the Middle East that might be getting bombed right now. I don't know. I'm just saying, what if that was it? Easy. Like, would we want to do that? But see, here's the thing that's true, church. We don't have to find the tree of life because the tree of life has already come for us in Jesus Christ. And so today, that's a perspective we're going to have because Jesus is going to teach us in two simple verses in Matthew 7 about the road that leads to life. So if you've got your Bible today, let's get to Matthew chapter 7. We're going to be in verse 13 and 14 today. If you don't have a Bible, as always, maybe you like to read your physical Bible. I'm going to tell you here. At the Vine, you can take notes in your Bible, highlight, talk about your neighbor on the side margins, whatever you got to do in your Bible. You're fine with that here at the Vine. If you like to do things digitally, always, we talk about it for free. We have our Vine Church app. Go to thevine.tv/app, and you'll see a little notes tab there where you can conveniently take notes for you, send in prayer requests, keep up with everything that's happening with us here at the Vine. But always, each and every week, Zach Candler, our Vine production team, will make sure wherever you're watching around the world today, I hope that we're only, it might be like seven scriptures. I'm just kidding as he throws something down for me. He would figure it out, though, if I did last minute. He always takes care of it. So wherever you're watching around the world throughout the week, the scripture is going to be on the screen for you. So if you're in Matthew chapter 7, ready to receive the word that God has for us, give me an amen. Amen. All right, we're going to jump straight into it today. Verse 13 and 14 says this. This is Jesus speaking. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Can we have a teaching moment here? We're going to, whether you want to or not, because in the summer semester, we're going to have some fun. I'm going to teach you about a little bit about reading your Bible right here. All throughout the Old Testament, and even right now, this is a way that Jewish teachers taught. Jesus is teaching like a Jewish teacher right now. This is called parallelism. You probably remember a little bit of it from English class. And it's basically saying, I'm going to say the same thing a different way over and over and over again. Parents, you do this all the time with your children. No, no, stop. No, go, maybe, no. Like, you just keep saying it over and over again, right? So this is what Jesus is doing. Look at how he says the same thing over and over again. He starts out with a narrow gate. Then he goes on to say that it is a small gate and a narrow road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Then he talks about a wide gate that is broad, that leads to destruction, and many enter in it. What Jesus is going to teach us today is the difference between being inclusive and exclusive. He's showing each and every one of us that all of us are struggling for something, as we just started out with, something that is missing. And late night TV commercials, all the advertisements in the world will tell you that they've got what you're missing, but Jesus is the only answer. So let's talk about this word narrow. Narrow. Jesus has already attacked that when we walk through Matthew 5. Matthew 5, verse 20, for those of you who have already memorized it because you're better than I am, thank you for that. I hope that my memory can be there. But Jesus says, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees, you will not enter into heaven. Sounds pretty narrow, doesn't it? You know what's not narrow? God's love. You know what's not narrow? God's mercy. You know what's not narrow? God's wisdom. You know what's not narrow? God's power. You know what's not narrow? God's sovereignty. You know what's not narrow? Creator God is not narrow. Have you looked at the universe? But you know what is narrow? Salvation is only found through Christ alone. Narrow. Jesus is teaching each and every one of us that he is the narrow thing that we are missing. He is the one thing that we are missing. So let's talk about our culture today, because it's so relevant. When we talk about something is inclusive, that means that it's pretty broad, right? We want to include everyone, but if something is exclusive, we think that it's pretty narrow. When you and I invite our friends and family to church, they say most of the time they're not going to come to church, right? Because Christians are intolerant, they're old-fashioned, they're mean, and they're pretty exclusive. So I don't want to be a part of that club. See, our culture wants everyone to be included. Our culture doesn't want to hurt anyone's feelings. We should be tolerant of everyone. You live by your truth. We'll get to that in just a moment. But let's just be honest. As we are finding out more and more as we go down this road to inclusivity, those that scream the most to be inclusive are probably the most exclusive people you've ever seen. Because you don't check the right boxes to be in their club. See, Christians get a bad rap, but you see, the thing about Christian and Christianity is we are disciples of Jesus Christ and Christ alone. Not only are that, in a little bit we'll talk about, we're also disciple makers. We are exclusive in the only way to salvation, but Jesus came so that all may enter in who have faith in him. Let's talk about the inclusive in the world today. Many of the inclusive believe that many and all paths lead to God. You go down the church, there's going to be one wherever you're watching right now. They're called universalist. They believe that you can go down any road and everyone can lead you to God, and we're all going to heaven, so you might as well have a good time figuring it out. And for those of you who believe that today, I just want to ask you, I want you to put a Christian, a Jew, and a Muslim in a room and say, all paths lead to heaven. And see how that works out. Because it's playing out in real time. Doesn't work out too well. We just celebrated D-Day yesterday. D-Day, where we're recording this. June 6, 1944. Go tell a veteran that stormed the beaches of Normandy, Hitler's way was the way to God. How's that going to work out? See, it's not possible that all ways lead to God. Can God be found in all things? Absolutely. But they can only be found in all things because he created all things. So for those who are exclusive, or those who are inclusive, I want to see today what you are excluding, because Jesus is the way. That is what a Christian believes. The exclusivity of Jesus is he alone is the only way. That repulses the world. Because how can Jesus be the way? How can Jesus' teaching from 2,000 years ago be right on marriage, on finances, on purpose, on identity, on serving. How can that possibly be right? And yet, when I look back, it's the only thing that's transcended time itself, isn't it? Jesus. See, culture doesn't like it because, let's just be honest, we don't like being disciplined, do we? Because if Jesus is the way, I got to change. And the truth of the matter is, the change can't be made by you. It's by trusting Jesus more, because he alone will change. You can teach anybody this, and it's just the truth is, just because something doesn't feel good doesn't mean that it's not the truth, is it? Church, here's what I would say. It's not intolerant to share the truth of Christ. It doesn't mean that we have to be on bullhorns in every corner saying, you're going to hell. Think of it this way. If you and I knew the way out of the darkness of a cave, and our loved ones were in there, would we tell them how to get out or just hope they figured it out? We would tell them the truth, wouldn't we? We'd tell them the truth. Aren't you glad God didn't let us just figure it out? Because he sent the truth in his one and only Son, that is Jesus Christ. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. And if we follow him, then we find that road that leads to life. See, the inclusive will believe that we're in a pluralistic, multicultural society. You believe what you want about truth, that your truth is absolute truth. You live your truth. I'm going to live my truth my way, and I don't care what you say, and you better accept it because it's what my truth is. That's what the inclusive say. It sounds pretty exclusive, doesn't it? Go ask a 2-year-old what their absolute truth is. Ice cream, snacks, naps. And let me ask you something. Would you build your life on that truth? Could you build your life on that truth? And how long would it last? See, two diametrically opposed truths cannot be absolute truth. All paths can't lead to God, or Jesus is the only way to salvation. They can't be the same thing. They are diametrically opposed. One has to be absolute truth. And in the world we live in, we don't like absolute truth. We want to go with the flow, man. Like, we just want to do that. That's all I got. My hips are lying today. I don't know what's happening. So we got to go with the flow today. We want everybody to believe 2 + 2 = 5, and they'll figure it out. Right? It's okay. They're tried real hard. You're robbing them. That's actually very cruel to not share the truth. So for those of you who are in the world that believe that your truth is the only way to life, I just want to say there are billions of people before you that believe that missed out on the truth of Jesus Christ, because the exclusive, the narrow way, knows that Jesus alone is the truth. He alone is the truth. Now here's the truth about Jesus. It's the truth, truth. It's the truth about Jesus. Jesus would say we can share his truth with grace and love. We can take those who disagree with us and we can still share the truth, even if it hurts, and still love them. Think about it. In John 13, right before he goes to the cross, Jesus washes the disciples' feet. He says, you will betray me, you will desert me, and you will deny me. Yet he still served them. He gave them the truth. He told every one of them the truth, and they all tried to deny it. Every one of them tried to deny it, and he still gave them the truth. Yet the whole time he was here, he said, the Son of Man will be betrayed, he will die, and rise again on the third day. But they didn't want to accept it because it didn't feel right, right? It wasn't something they wanted to hear. So Jesus lovingly shared them the truth. He teaches us that, yes, we will fight for others, yet at the same time, we will not compromise the truth of God's word. We will not compromise that Jesus is the truth. As Christians, we say, it's okay for you to live in your truth, but we love you enough to share the truth. The inclusive and broad road today would say Christianity is a crutch that weak people use because they are afraid to die. Death is the number one fear we all have. I don't care who you are. We all fear death. You can say, I'm not afraid. I ain't afraid of death. Yeah, you are, because right before you go splat like Wile E. Coyote, you said, man, I messed up. Or you cry out to God. You know how I know how we all fear death? When the plane crashes down. Are we asking God to let it crash? Or are we saying, save us? We all fear death. And every time I hear someone who doesn't believe in God give the example, they always give me the same example, it seems, of four blind men touching an elephant. And the four blind men are touching an elephant, and they ask the blind man, what do you think you're touching? And all four give different answers, yet they are all four touching the same thing. So therefore, yes, all paths lead to God, and God is this made-up thing, and Jesus is a conglomeration of all these Middle Eastern gods and goddesses and all of this. And I just want to ask you, if you believe that today, how did anybody know it was an elephant? See, somebody that wasn't blind saw that it was an elephant they were touching. See, you and I were blind in our sin before we realized that we found sight through Christ and Christ alone. Would you understand that something had to change somebody's perspective to see that it was an elephant the whole time? Maybe you're walking around blind today if you were like the inclusive. But the exclusive, the narrow way, knows that Jesus is the life. He is the only one that gives us eternal life. He is the only one that holds the key to death and hell because he defeated it for us. He's the only one that's risen through the dead. He knows the way through the valley of the shadow of death. For the Christian, death is not something that you fear because Christ has already overcome it. Wherever you are today, I just want to ask you, what do you believe? Do you believe in the narrow way that leads to life, that is Christ Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life? Or do you believe in the broad road that makes you all comfortable, that leads to destruction? Application today for us is Christian. You and I are called to share his love. We are called to share the truth. We are called to share who God is, who Christ is, with everyone he places in our path. Because many, as John 3:18-20 reminds us, stay in the darkness because they don't want the light to expose their deeds. And we love them enough, church, that if we have Christ's light in us, they can't help but see a city on a hill that we talked about just a few weeks ago. They can't help but see his light. They can't help but see a difference. Now, the choice is theirs. Salvation can be theirs, but they have to choose it. See, the good plan that God has for each and every one of us to bless us because he loves us if we are a Christian is yes. We say yes to Jesus as our Lord and Savior, but we're also called to live on mission for him. Jesus says we do it by love God and love others. This is his call to action for us. And let me ask you this. Throughout all of Jesus' teaching, church, does he ever say that we're supposed to agree with him or to follow him? He calls us to follow him. Follow him. We don't have to agree with everything he's calling us to do. He calls us to follow him obediently because Jesus calls us to follow him on mission every day. And so I wonder, church, if we understand that every day is a mission trip. We don't have to go across the world to go reach unreached people. We're going to see unreached people today at lunch. There may be unreached people today in our midst. There may be unreached people when we go to work tomorrow. Unreached people when we go on vacation. Unreached people when school starts back up. Unreached people in our backyard, unreached people at the red light when we pass them. Each and every one of us have unreached people right now that we can share the truth of Jesus with. The question will be, do we understand that every day is a mission for Christ? Every day is a mission trip. Some days I don't feel like I want to wake up doing that, but I wonder if today that I stood up and let my feet hit the ground and say, Jesus, I'm on mission for you today. Let's go do it. Let's go live out the Great Commission. Let's go share your gospel and your hope to the ends of the earth, making disciples and baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them everything that you have commanded us because we know that you are with us. I want you to think about it. We kind of scratched the surface of it last week, but think about it this way. Last week we said there's infinitely more of Jesus than we can ever get in this life on earth. We just have to seek him and he'll give it to us. Have you ever thought about the presence of Jesus being so big, he just asked you to step into him instead of you trying to do everything to consume him? You literally just have to take the step to follow him. Better is this way. Jesus called the disciples fishers of what, church? Men. You think they had fishing poles? Or did they have nets? Had nets. Church, we're a net. And we're only as strong as we are obedient to Christ. And we're only as big a net as we choose to be to share his love with everyone. We, church, get to be a net on mission for Jesus that gets to be cast out. And no word of God returns void. You may not see somebody trust Jesus as Lord and Savior in that instant. Billy Graham talked about it all the time. He would stand up in all of his great crusades and he would say, "Don't thank me for teaching you about Jesus. Thank the 12 other people that told you about him before me." What if we're number 7 today? Then number 8 comes along. Then number 9 comes along. And then number 10 comes along. And somebody finds the hope of Jesus. Somebody gets off the broad road that leads to destruction, death, and hell that sin's wage has for us. And they follow Jesus on the narrow way. That's the mission. That's the good plan that God has for us. Church, I want to say today, there's only so many mission trips we get. There's only so many days that we get to live on mission. We can waste it, or we can use it for good in the Lord. The choice is ours. For all of us today, just be reminded, God loves you, God wants to bless you, and God has good plans for you. Today, maybe, just maybe, you're coming to your senses for the first time, and you're realizing that I have been doing everything that I thought was inclusive, everything that I thought would lead to life, and I see nothing but shambles and destruction all around me, and I can't figure it out. If I just buy this next thing, if I just say this right thing, if I just give this right thing, maybe I can find it. And today, I want you to come to your senses, to step off of the broad road that leads to destruction, that many have been deceived walking down in their sin, and instead turn to the narrow way of Jesus Christ that is life. See, you and I are born to walk on this broad road that leads to destruction because you and I are born into sin. Sin is anything that is against the perfect will of God, and none of us are perfect. I know all of you are probably 99.9% there. I'm probably somewhere in the 50s. It's all right. I failed that grade a long time ago, wherever you are. See, God loved us enough. See, that sin separated us from him. It separated us from life. It separated us from the narrow way. It separated us from his blessing for us and living in the fullness of his love. And so instead of letting us figure it out, he sends his son, Jesus Christ, to do for us what we can't do for ourselves. He blazed the path. He pioneered the narrow way for us. He has already gone before us. He lives the perfect sinless life you and I cannot live. He dies the death that we deserve, paying the penalty for our sins once and for all on the cross, and loves us enough not to stay dead. He rises again on the third day so that we could have life and life to the full. The question is, will we believe it? See, Jesus says this in John 14:6. He says to someone asking him, he answers, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except me." He exclusively says who he is. Every religion in the world says if you find the way, you will find truth, and then you might get life. But Jesus himself is the way, that is the truth, that is the life. And the only way we can walk and experience it is having faith that he is who he says he is. With every head bow and every eye closed, this is why we do what we do each and every week here at the Vine Church, is not just so that we could be reminded as Christians that we are on mission for Jesus Christ together. It's so that many would step off of the broad road that leads to destruction and find Jesus, the hope of Christ, as their Lord and Savior. We're about to say a prayer here in just a moment. It's not the words of this prayer that saves you. It's the faith that Jesus and Jesus alone is who he says he is. Here at the Vine Church, nobody prays alone, so we've got every head bow, and our whole church is going to say the words of this prayer of faith out loud together. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner separated from you. I believe you came, live the perfect sinless life I couldn't live. Die the death I deserve, paying the penalty for my sins on the cross, but love me enough not to stay dead, but rose again on the third day that I may have life. Take over my life, Lord. Teach me to follow you step by step the rest of my life the best way I know how. With every head bowed and every eye closed in this house or watching online, for the first time you have stepped off the broad road that leads to destruction, and to follow Jesus is the narrow way, because you know for sure that for the first time you can trust he is the way, the truth, and the life. If that's you today, I'm going to ask you to boldly raise your hand on the count of three. 1, 2, 3. If you're in the house, you can raise your hand. If you're online, you can raise your hand. You can send us a message at hello@thevine.tv, all of our social media, inside of our app. We want to celebrate this decision with you, because as we said just a little bit earlier, the thing about love is something you build. And the only way that we can build upon this love that Christ has given us and how he fully builds his love through us is in the local church. And we want to celebrate this decision with you and help you take your next step with a local church near you. And for the rest of us today, we can go ahead and stand up. My prayer today is that all of us will be reminded of the mission we have in Christ Jesus. But as we go into this moment of worship, we celebrate his love. We celebrate that he is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. That you and I didn't have to memorize a bunch of scripture, give a lot of money, give a lot of time serving, because he's done it all. Instead, it is an overflow of what he has done for us. So let's worship him the way he deserves.
Hiding, reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon. My soul.
Aren't we thankful we can run to the Father? Every time I hear the ending of that, I always hear the Little Mermaid, and please don't get mad at me. So we can live on mission like that. See, if you stay till the end, you got to enjoy that little earworm. You know, I'm just saying. So we would love to invite you to come hang out with us next week as we continue our Sermon on the Mount. In a couple of weeks, we got Father's Day. Alex Hamby's going to be bringing the preach. He doesn't know that yet. He just found out. So that being said, also, we're going to be doing something special this summer. We would love to invite you. We're going to be diving deeper into God's Word together. I'm excited for what Jesus has for us. But most importantly, I'm excited what Jesus has done for us and how much he has loved us. And here in this house, we always want to make sure that we live on mission for him. And so we've always got a seat saved for you. And we can't wait to see your smiling face next week. Always remember, the best is still yet to come.